reaches around the Earth 30 times and grows 20 miles longer each day. That line is a line of people that do not have Christ in their life. People, we live in a desperate time. There's a desperate need for the gospel of Christ to be preached. In John 4, beginning in verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." In Matthew 9, beginning in the verse 35, we read, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest.'" We see that they were commissioned by Jesus Christ. In Matthew's account of the Great Commission, beginning in verse 18, we read that Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We see in Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 16, that the gifts of Christ accomplish the edification of the church as well as its outward growth. And that includes evangelism that's mentioned in verse 16 there. Remember Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The Greek word there means to build a house, erect a building, according to Thayer. And it's used of Christ in building his church. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." I want to suggest to you that one of the works of the local church is evangelism, preaching the gospel of Christ. And my friends, that is what grows the house of God. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 47, after Peter is recorded there having preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. We see another growth record there in Acts 4 and verse 4, and another one in Acts 5 and verse 14. So, God's plan is to save the world by the preaching of the gospel. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 16, beginning in verse 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." You see, all people need this salvation. Everyone needs it. Paul speaks to this in Romans 3, verses 9 and 10, and again to the young preacher Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11. The Hebrew writer speaks of it in Hebrews 2 and verse 9. And in Mark 16, 15, in Mark's account of the Great Commission, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So every person needs God's plan of salvation. And that is the work of the church. You see, God's grace gives us the remedy for sin as well as its proclamation. Again, the Apostle Paul records for us in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And again, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders at Miletus in Acts 20 and verse 24, he talked about this. And he speaks to it again in the same chapter, in the same book rather, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. But you know, it is the work of the church. But every Christian preaches in some way. In the book of Acts, we have in chapter 8 in the first verse that the Christians in Jerusalem were scattered abroad because of persecution. Verse 4 tells us they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Preaching in Acts 8 and verse 4, they were evangelizing. The Greek word there means to bring good news, to announce glad tidings, to declare, to show. I want to suggest to you that according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, your words and your life announce the proclamation of praises. People should see Christ living in you and you living in Christ, specifically declaring the gospel message by the way you live. And every congregation has Bible authority to use its resources to preach the gospel to the lost. Now, let's talk for a minute about congregational work of evangelism. There is a pattern for churches to preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul records for us, beginning in verse 16, "I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." And what we see in the New Testament in the pattern of preaching the gospel is that churches sent preachers to preach. That's what happened in Acts 11, Acts 13, and Acts 15. And these churches, as we've talked in other lessons, sent support directly to these preachers. Philippians 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 9. No additional organization necessary or approved, no missionary society, no sponsoring church or any other agency or arrangement was used by local churches in the New Testament to funnel funds to support a preacher or group of preachers. But we note that the churches support the man, the preacher, not the work. The church where he preaches, they support him, but not that work. The congregational work of evangelism does not exclude or fulfill the individual's work. Now here's a word of exhortation. In Acts 13 and verse 15, we read that after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." What I want to say here is that Satan doesn't want us to teach or preach the gospel of Christ to others. Again, Paul tells us in Romans 10, verse 13 through 15, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. It is our responsibility to preach the word of God. And the exhortation here is to understand that Satan doesn't want it to happen. If the preaching of the gospel takes place, and if people believe the message that is being preached, then he loses. Paul again records for us in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Satan works extremely hard to minimize, criticize, and demoralize God's workers. He says, be satisfied with what you're doing now. Don't try to get out and preach the gospel. Don't try to teach others, the lost in this world, about the gospel of Christ. His ministers are ridiculed for the truth, and its teachers are ridiculed. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said in Matthew 5, beginning in verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." But Satan says, "You're too narrow-minded, you're contentious, you're unloving, you're unkind, and you'll never grow without using man's ideas if you only preach the gospel." But you see, when we have Luke's account of the sermon of the soil, the seed, he says in chapter 8 and verse 15, "But the ones that fell on the good ground," that is the seed that was being sown, which we know to be the word of God in this parable, "the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." There will be people that will question your motives. There will be people that will try to impugn your integrity. I mean, think about it. They did it to Jesus. Why would they not try to do that same thing to people today who are trying to preach the truth? They'll say that you're perverse, but you are blessed. Mark 10, verses 29 through 31. And when you think about it, we have a service to carry out that only we as individuals can do. We see that in Acts 26 and verse 18, where like Paul, we try to open the eyes of those who are blinded by sin. Who else will or who else can do this? The apostles, as is recorded in 2 Corinthians 4, talked about, "We do not lose heart. We preach Christ Jesus to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to the lost." It's a difficult task that is before us to preach the gospel, to preach the truth of God's word. And we must not faint. We must not give up. We must be strengthened in our faith. Philippians 2 in verse 16 says, "We hold forth the word of life." So like them, like those of the New Testament, as is recorded in Acts 17 and verse 6, we can too turn the world upside down. And this is accomplished by sounding forth the word of the Lord. Again, Paul records in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." Our job as individuals and as churches is to preach the gospel, to evangelize the lost and the dying of this world. And that's all we need to be doing. We don't need to do it with the aid of man's thoughts. We don't need to be doing it with what man may deem is necessary or in things that he thinks that God needs his help, our help in. All we need to do is simply preach the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is all that is needed to save souls. Not basketball games, not bouncy houses, anything of that nature. All we need to do is preach the truth of God's word and the truth alone. If you'd like to talk with me about this lesson, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website, churchateastside.com, and look under the column for sermons, and it'll be there listed as a radio program on evangelizing. I want to thank you for being with me today.